So we're looking on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, 8 lines up from the bottom, the sugya of Shuma, of evaluation. Let's see what the Gemara says. Hahu Gavra the Akdish Bishiroi. The Gemara tells us a story about an individual who gave a woman Shava Kesef. Instead of currency, he gave her, in this case, Shiroi. Shiroi, Rashi explains, of Godim of Meshi, the silk clothing. And we're going to have to come back and ask the question, what's the significance of the fact that this was the object that the Gemara tells us was given? Maybe there's some special status to this kind of an object. But in any event, for our purposes, we'll broaden it and conceptualize it as Shavu Kesef, something that has value. Rabba Omar Lo Tzrichi Shuma. Rabba says there's no need to evaluate precisely how much this object is worth. Again, Rashi's going to stipulate that it's worth a pruta. It's got to be worth the basic minimum. But above and beyond that, there's a great range in how much it could be. And you might expect, as Rav Yosef will in a minute, that we have to bring down the professional to evaluate an adapter to tell me exactly. Maybe you make a public auction and find out what somebody's willing to pay for it. So Rava says that's not necessary. Rav Yosef Omar Tzrichi Shuma. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, requires Shuma. If we don't evaluate the value, the exact market value of this object, then the Kiddushin is not valid. And here we have a very important comment of Rashi, and Tosus accepts the same premise, but it's going to be a matter of dispute. Rashi and Tosus both assume that the concept of Shuma, Rav Yosef's requirement of Shuma, applies before she receives the object. Notice, there are time periods here. The first time period is when the Baal says to the woman, Aret Mekudeshesli, and he's got an object in his hand. And there's a time period in which he gives over the object to the Isha, and she accepts it willingly. Somewhere in the middle, says Rashi, according to Rav Yosef, we require Shuma. The Ran says, no, when Rav Yosef requires Shuma, he doesn't require Shuma prior to the giving of the object into the hands of the woman. As long as the Shuma was done at some point, even subsequent to when the Maisa Kedusha took place, she already has the Shuma, the Shirayim in her hands. As long as the Shuma is done, then it's valid. So now we have to take a step back and analyze this machlokas between Rashi, and again, as I told you, Tosus agrees with Rashi on the one hand, and then the Ran, who's analyzing the Shitas HaRambam, on the other hand. What is the nature of Shuma? Is Shuma, this evaluation, a requirement to set up the Maisa Kiddushin? Or no? Shuma is a tnai, it's a condition in the chalos kedushin. When the kedushin will be validated, it will take effect. Rashi and Tosus understand that according to Rav Yosef, be'inon shuma, we require shuma in order to set up the maisa kedushin. There's an element in the maisa kedushin that's lacking, that's deficient, unless the Shuma set up this maisa kedushin as a valid maisa kedushin. What happens after the kedushin, once she receives the object, is irrelevant. Either at that critical moment that she receives it, there was a Shuma, and therefore the Kedushin is valid, or it's too late. The story is over. Finito. You can't have the Shuma after the Kedushin. That's the sheet of Rashi and Tosus here in understanding Rav Yosef. The Rambam, on the other hand, the way the Ran interprets the Rambam, holds that Shuma is a condition in validating the Kiddushin and can take place after the Kiddushin. It's not a precondition in the Maisa Kiddushin, in the act of Kiddushin. She's got to know, and we have to know at some point, what this object is valued at. When we find out is irrelevant. It could be way later down the line. Okay, we'll come back to this in a few minutes. Please don't forget it. Point number two, Tosus doesn't understand how does Rav Yosef square off with the Gemara in the second parak of Kiddushin. Rav Yosef says Tzrichi Shuma. Take a look at Tosus, five lines up from the bottom of the Daf. Rav Yosef Amar Tzrichi Shuma Kodem Kiddushin Ka'amar Kidapirish HaKunch Bekunchus. The Shuma has to take place before the object is given over to the Isha. V'tema says Tos, I don't understand. The Lekamon later on, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Gabi is Kadshi Li Bishtar Chov. If a man gives a woman a promissory note, the document that records a loan, and that's what he gives her, and he says, you now can collect this loan because I'm giving you, I'm transferring ownership of the loan to you. So Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say that we can validate this Kiddushin if and when the parchment upon which the shtar, this promissory note, is written, is inscribed, is worth on the market of Pruta. Shomen Esaniyar will go ahead and evaluate the paper on which the shtar is written. Im yesh bo shavu pruta, if it's worth a pruta, the minimum amount of money for kedusha mikudeshes, it's valid. Mashma says Tosus, you get the impression. Shomen Esaniyar achar kedusha. The simple, straightforward pshat indicates that the shuma was done after the kedusha, according to the Rav's pshat and Rambam. That's wonderful. But Tosis accepting Rashi Shita that the Shuma must be done before the Maisa Kedushin is going to have a problem. How could it be that after she receives the Shtar Chov into our hands, we're going to take it to an expert and figure out what the market value is?
Maybe it's different because with the Shtar Chov, it's not so evident that it's worth more than a Sheva Prita. Meaning they have to have a Shuma, but in the case of the silk.
But wait a second, you're making the question even stronger. When Tosa assuming the shuma was done after she received the kedush. Now, if we don't even know it's worth a pruta, then how much more so would the shuma have to take place before the kedusha? It's a kal v'chomer. If between a pruta and 50 zuz, we don't know what it's worth, we require the shuma to take place, going to Rashi tells us, before the Maisa Kedushin, Alachas Kama V'Kama, much more so in the case where we don't even know if it's worth a minimum pruta, it's worth a cent, that Shuma should have to take place before she receives the object. In fact, Rashi says that we know for sure, in the case of Shirai, that the Shirayim are worth at least the minimum of pruta. That we have to know, so that we don't need to bring in some sort of expert evaluator. That we know for sure. The Eishlomer Tosus offers two answers. The first answer he's going to say is that apparently when the Baal said to the Ishas Kachili B'Shtar Chov Zeh, he added two words. He said B'Koldehu, no matter what it's worth. And according to Tosus' second answer, they did the Shuma before he gave it to her. Which is obviously a little bit of a push.
It's a big push.
You gotta squeeze it in, but that's what Tosus is gonna say.
The Kol would not work if it's less than a pruta.
Right.
No, we're all, but right. The assumption is that whatever it's worth the pruta.
At least
a
pruta. Well, it's worth at least. Well, again, we're gonna have to find out that it's worth the pruta. We're gonna have to clarify that. That's what the Chachamim say. If we evaluate the shtar, and indeed it's worth a pruta, says Tosus, even if the evaluation process took place after the Kedushin, it's valid, even according to Rav Yosef, because he said to her, B'koldu. He said to her, accept this no matter what it's worth, meaning it's only worth a pruta. She understands in her mind that she has to receive a pruta, nothing less than a pruta. Above and beyond a pruta, we need Shuma. Why do we need Shuma? So again, let's just give me another few minutes and then we'll take a break. Why do we need Shuma? So the Gemara says the following. This is the last of the skinny lines in the Gemara. A'i di amar la b'koldehu. If he said to her, accept these shirayim, no matter what they're worth, as they are. Kuli amalo pligi delo tzrichi shuma. Everybody agrees that you can waive the requirement of Shuma. Even Rabbi Yosef, who insists on evaluating, he doesn't require it in such a case. Why? Because since she accepted it with the built-in condition that was explicitly stated by the Baal that it's kolduhu, whatever it is, take it, then she accepted it under those conditions. So again, as long as it's worth a pruta, then it's valid. Now, what does this mean? Becholdehu. So if you notice, back in the Tosis that we just read, let's see it again. The Eshlomer, three lines above the bottom, the Lishna Diomer Becholdehu, Kuliamalo Pligi, according to this Gemara that we're reading now, that even Rav Yosef agrees that Becholdehu, you don't need Shuma. Iri, this case of Shtarchov is Diomer Lo Koldehu. Now, underline those words. The Omar La Koldehu. Tosis is explicit. He's outspoken about the fact that in Koldehu, the Baal said the Koldehu. And the reason I emphasize this is because I found the Rashba. And the Rashba says that unless we know otherwise, it's always considered Koldehu. Meaning, in a case of Stam, where he says nothing, he just says Hareat Mekudeshes Li with this object, then Rav Yosef agrees you don't need Shuma. When does Rav Yosef say you need Shuma? When he tells her, he notifies her how much its value is. So we have here a machlokas between Tosas and the Rashba. Keep it in mind, we'll come back to it in Mitzvah. According to Tosas, when the Gemara says that Rav Yosef admits in the case of Koldehu, it's valid, he, the Baal, the Mekadesh, had to explicitly enunciate that he's giving it to Bekoldu and she accepted that condition. According to the Rashba, if he says nothing, all he does is he gives her an object and he says, Hareh Mekudeshes Li, Bishirayim Elu, that's exactly like Koldu. It's only when he says in the next case, as we'll soon see in the development of the sugya, Bechamshin, that's worth 50 zuz, that's when Rav Yosef says she doesn't rely on the fact that he says it's worth Chamshin zuz. She needs a shuma, she needs an expert to come and evaluate it. So let's get back to the Gemara again.
How is Chamshin zuz different than...
So that's the next line in the Gemara.
How is Chamshin zuz different than what Tosfot says with the Shtarchov? Because the Shtarchov is a value.
No, right, but Tosfot says that he has to say to Habakaldu. Do you see those words in Tosfot? The Amar Lo Koldehu, the Rashba would take offense with those words. He doesn't have to say to Habakaldu. As long as he gives her an object, unless he tells her the value of the object, if he doesn't specify what it's worth, right? Yeah. Then she accepted it as is.
What's a shtarchov?
I would.
A shtarchov is a promissory note. That means you borrowed money from me. So you wrote out a shtar that says you owe me money. I now give it over to this isha for
kiddush. But it's a value.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's a value. I borrowed $100 from you, so it's an IOU of $100. Here's the shtarchov. It's got this.
Right. So we
$100 value.
We
no different than the chamshin.
No.
Doc,
no.
We didn't talk about the case of a chov. I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why.
So maybe we'll take a little break at this point.
I'll tell you why the chov is.
What's the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba about koldim? According to Tosfos, when I give a woman an object of value, that's a vehicle to kesef. In other words, my prime category or method of kedushin is kesef. If I give her something of value, that object represents kesef. Therefore, he has to say to her something about the value. He's got to say to her, accept it, even if it's worth a pruta. Unless he says something that gives that object a value, then it can't serve as kesef. This will become clearer when I explain the Rashba. The Rashba says you don't have to say kol. Why? Because the Rashba holds there are two different categories. There's one category called kesef, and there's another category called shafa kesef. If a man says to a woman, this object is yours for Kiddushin, when she accepts the object, according to the Rashba, she's not accepting the object as a vehicle to Kesef. She's not accepting this object and translating it, so to speak, into dollars and cents, how much is it worth? She's accepting the object itself. the fact that she wants it, she desires it, she's happy with it, itself clinches her das, her willingness to enter into this marriage relationship.
As long as it's worth the fruit.
As long as it's worth it.
As long as it's an asset.
Correct. It's an asset, and she wants it. In other words, according to the Rash, when we look at the guf hachefetz, the object itself, since it has value, and the object itself generates the kedusha. The Tosis, on the other hand, says no. The object per se is not a method of kedushin. The halacha doesn't recognize that. The halacha recognizes that shava kesef is kikesef, but you've got to give it a value. And Rav Yosef therefore requires shuma. When he says to her, Bekaldahu, what he's saying is that the value of this object for our purposes is a single pruta. Anything above and beyond that is pure profit on your behalf. But as far as Kiddushin is concerned, to set up Kesef, I guarantee that this object is worth a pruta. That's called Kaldahu. If he doesn't spell that out, according to Tosfos, he hasn't fulfilled the halach of Shuma. Because according to Tosfos, when Rav Yosef requires Shuma, Shuma is the catalyst, is the agent, which converts Shavakesef into Kesef. The Rashba says there's no need to turn Shavakesef into Kesef. Rav Yosef's problem with Shuma is only when he himself explicitly turns the Shavakesef into Kesef. Namely, when he gives it a market value, a price tag, then it becomes Kesef. And then we're going to require Shuma. But if he says, Haramakudeshasli, with this bottle, with this bimbakbuk mayim zeh, then she accepts the bakbuk, says the Rashba. And that itself gives her the das for kedusha. Tosfos says no, there is no such thing as being mekadesh with a bottle. A bottle is not a method of kedusha. Kesef is a method. To the extent to which this bottle is worth something, give it a value. I don't care if you give it a pruta's value. That's good enough for me. But give it a value. Make it into kesef. Therefore, Tosfos says, you've got to say koldu. What's magical about the words koldu? What's inherent in those words? This is worth a pruta, maybe more, but accept it as a pruta. Once she does that, there's kesef. But they've made it into kesef. Okay, give me a few more minutes now, Rav Osa. We're going to come back to this again and again. But you've got to see a little bit more. You have to be patient, see a little bit more of the picture. Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Idi Amala Bekaldu, the last of the white lines, Kuli Amalo Pligi, the Lotzrichi Shuma. If he said to her, Kaldu, or the way the Rashba learns it, you don't have to take the Gemara literally that he said to Kaldu, then everybody agrees, even Rav Yosef, you don't need Shuma. Idi Amala Chamshin, but if he gives the object a price tag, he calls it 50 zuz. Vilo shavu chamshin. At the end of the day, we find out. One day, it doesn't matter which day, we find out it's not worth 50. Halo shavu. Even Rabba would agree in this case that the kedushin is invalid. Again, Rashi says that in all cases, we know it's worth a pruta. In case number one, he says they're accepted as a pruta. B'choldu. In case number two, he decides to give it a value. And therefore, once he gives it a value, it's got to be worth that value. And therefore, if it's not worth that value, then the kedushin is not valid. We'll come right back to this in a minute. Key pligi, then where is the machlokas? You've whittled down the extremes. What's the middle case? The case that they argue about, the Omar Chamshin Vishavu Chamshin. He said it was worth 50, and indeed we find out it's worth 50. Rabba Omar Lo Tzricha Shuma. Da Shavu Chamshin. She got exactly what he had promised her, and what she accepted. There was no cheating. What do you need Shuma for? Rav Yosef Omar Tzricha Shuma. Why? Came on the Issusolo Bakir Bashuma. She's not an expert. She doesn't know for sure what its value is. She's not going to rely on what he says. Lo Sam Chadaita. Therefore, she never had a full decision or agreement to accept this Kiddushin. Okay, now let's go back to the previous case. What's the previous case? He said it was worth 50. and it was not worth 50. Rashi says something important. I think you noticed it last week. Take a look, three lines before the end of the page. Idi omers kachili b'chamishim zuz. Rashi says that the case is where he says to her, I want to marry you with 50 zuz. V'harei lecha elu b'dmehem. And accept these, meaning these clothes, as in lieu of the 50 zuz. So the question is, why? Why does Rashi feel compelled to add this? Is the answer, I believe, is according to the Rashba. Let's go back to the Rashba. The Rashba says that you could be Makadish and Isha with an object. If you give her an object, and it's worth a pruta, minimum, she accepts the object, she likes the object, she wants it, she's willing to be Makadish, makna herself for that object, everything's wonderful. The problem here is that he said to her, I'm being Makadish you not with an object, but with 50 zuz. Now take this object because it's worth 50 zuz. And here I want to share with you a chiddush of the HaMakna. You remember I mentioned to you the Sefer HaMakna. He says an unbelievable chiddush. If he would have not said Chamishim zuz from the start, V'harei loch b'domehem, supposing he would have said, take this shirai, these shirai, and you know what? They're worth 50 zuz. If he said it in that way, then supposing they're only worth 49 zuz. The Sefer HaMakna says in such a case, the law of Onah kicks in. Okay? What's the law of Onah? There are three dinim in Onah. If I overcharge you for something, I cheat you. Which one of these do we say works? Remember?
The second one.
This one? Oh, we'll give it a shot.
Right? So Onah has three dinim. One, if it's pachos mishtus, shtus is approximately, again, I'm not going to fractions here, about 16%. So if, let's say, I cheated you by 10%, that's case number one. Case number two, shtus, exactly 1/6, okay? And case number three, yeser mishtus. But what are the three dinim? If it's pachos mishtus mechila, meaning, okay, maybe if you would look for another seller, you'd find it for 50% less. You'd get a better price. Everybody knows that if you keep searching around, you'll get something. You know, my wife wants to buy blueberries, so she tells me, don't go to No Frills, you'll go to Costco, and in Costco you'll get... you know, of course you have to walk out with a bag this big of blueberries, but it'll be worth it, you know. So that's called mechila. A person doesn't fight over such a small amount. That margin of range in price is allowed. If on the other hand it's a shtus, it's exactly a sixth, then the law is that the buyer has a right to demand reimbursement. Pay me back that shtus. If it's yes or mishtus, then the buyer has the right to break out, to back out of the entire deal. Mekach tos. Says the Sefer HaMakna, if a man says to a woman, Harei ha-mekudeshes li, b'shirayim elu, v'heim shovim chamishim, then in such a case, we allow for a certain range of discrepancy. So, if let's say, it turns out that the experts say the shirayim are not worth 50, they're only worth 40, that's more than a shtus, then the kedushin is invalid, that's more than a shtus. But let's say it's worth 45 instead of 50, which is less than a shtus, then it's mechila, then we don't apply the din. But if he says to her, be makadish you with 50 zuz, that's Rashi's case, then everybody, whether it's Rabbi or Rav Yosef, agrees that if it's worth 1 cent less than 50 zuz, the kedushin are bottle. Because he sets, and she agrees, a certain value, a certain price,
minimum.
Less minimum, less than that. Whereas the Torah allows Kedusha with a pruta, but the Bekadesh and the Mekadeshes, the Torah allows them to set a price. If he sets a price of 50, she's got to get 50. If she can get 50, the Kedusha is not valid.
That's why Rashi, in order to justify the Gemara
says, Lo Shavu Chamshin, if it's not worth 50, it's invalid. Says Hamakna, that's not necessarily so. Only in Rashi's case. And therefore Rashi pushed it to say that the case was, I'll be Makadish you with 50. Here's the Shirayim, they're worth 50. If they're worth a penny less than 50, then the whole Kedushin is null and void. Rava says, Lo Tzrichi Shuma. So I asked you before, is there any significance to the fact that the Gemara records the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yosef as referring to Shirai? That was the case. Is it just haphazard? So Tosus says a chiddush on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Tosus says that what's unique about Shirayim? Shirayim is something that most people could evaluate within reason, without making a major error. But if he gave her avonim tovos umargolios, if he gave her a precious stone, then even Rava would agree, tzricha shuma. Because since in a case of a precious stone, if you're not an expert, the discrepancy, the range of difference could be phenomenal, then even Rava would say, lo somcha daita. She's not going to believe it. Who says that this is a real diamond? Maybe it's a, what's it called? A
cubic zirconia.
A zirconia? So she's not going to rely on his evaluation. You need an expert for that. And then Tosus goes on to say that that's why our mig is to give a simple ring and not something with stones on it and so forth and so on. The Rambam has a whole nother pshat. The Rambam says, what's the significance of Shirayim? Why did this case of Shirayim come up? Because it's a Dover Shaisha Misavaba. Because women want silk garments. There's something significant about a silk garment. You know, today maybe leather's in style. I know it's a big thing. You know, you get a leather jacket. I don't know. But in those days it was silk. Even today I think silk is still popular.
Well, it's the real stuff.
The real silk. Says Tosus. I'm sorry. Says the Rama. That if it was something like Shirayim, then Einam Tzrichim Shuma. Then Rabbah says you don't have to evaluate it. Kevan Shaisha Misavalem Umechamdosa Misrasis Liskadesh. She has a full-fledged decision and desire and willingness to get married. However, Bishar Dvarim, other things, says the Rambam, Tzrichim Shuma, even according to Rav, unless you tell her what it's valued at, she's not so meches das. My friends, there's a radical chiddush in the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that both Rava and Rav Yosef agree in principle that a woman will not have smichus das. She won't rely on what he says. Even if he tells her what its value, she won't rely on it. The Kedushin are not valid. When did Rava say that we could validate the Kedushin? In the case of Shirayim. In the case of Big Day Meshi, because she's misavalim. The machlokus between Rava and Rav Yosef is not a machlokus in principle. It's a machlokus in a specific, well-carved out case of Shirayim. Rav Yosef says, you know what? She may desire them, but she's got to know what they're valued at. Rava says she desires them, and therefore she'll be misratza for the Kedushin, even if she doesn't know exactly how much they're worth. But in general, the rule, this is the exception to the general rule, is that even Rava embraces the viewpoint of Rav Yosef, that unless she knows exactly how much it's worth through Shuma, lo samcha daita, and the Kedushin is not valid.
Wow.
It's a pretty radical consideration. All this is the Lishna Kama. Now we're up to the Lishna Basra. Ika, the Amri, a line and a half before the end of the daf. Bechaldu nami pligi. And here there's a tremendous issue about the word nami. Some texts have the word nami, but other Rishonim don't have the word nami in their text. And there's a tremendous difference between the two. If I have the word nami, as we do in our printed Gemaras, then what the Gemara is doing in the Lishna Basra is adding another machlokus. The first machlokus is where he says it's worth chamshin, and it is, and it turns out to be worth chamshin. In addition to that, there's another machlokus if he says to her bekoldu. Right, becholdu nami pligi. If he says to becholdu, Rav Yosef Omer shove kesef areyuki kesef, ma kesef de kayitz. Af shove kesef de kayitz. Rav Yosef invalidates the kedushin, even though he said becholdu, because shove kesef has to be kayitz. It has to be similar to kesef. That's in addition to the machlokes about where he says chamshin. In other words, even though we find out later that it is worth chamshin, and therefore it has kayitz, Rav Yosef would still say it's not valid because there's a problem of smichus das. Because lo tzom chadaita. So basically, if you have the word nami, the Gemara is piggybacking, so to speak, or adding a second floor on top of the machlokas that we had before, where he said 50 and it was worth 50. We have another machlokas where he said koldu. Because Rav Yosef has this absolute rule that knows no exception, that Shava Kesef has to be converted, has to be upgraded to Kesef, through what vehicle? Through Shuma. Yeah. That makes it Kayetz. But other Rishonim don't have the word Nami. That means if you take out the word Nami, then the Machlokas boils down to the case of Koldu. In a case where he said it was worth 50... even Rav Yosef would agree that you don't need Shuma. Where does Rav Yosef disagree? No, I'm sorry. Just the opposite. If you take out the word Nami, then they argue Dafka only in the case of Koldu. But in the case where he says Chamshin, it's worth 50 and they were worth 50, even Rav agrees that she's not married because she doesn't have Smichus Das.
Has to know that it's worth
50. She has to know that it's worth 50. Unless he says Koldu. So again, let's take Rabba Shita according to the Lishna Basra. If you take out the word Nami, Rabba would say that if he says it's worth 50, she doesn't rely on him. And the Kedushin is not valid without a Shuma. If he says Koldu, then she says, you know what, I'll accept it no matter whether it's worth. And you don't need a Shuma. Rav Yosef,
as long as it's at least a
print. Rav Yosef comes along and says, no, even though he said to Koldu, and even though there's no problem with Smichus Das, there's another issue. That Kesef and Shova Kesef have to be equal. How do we equalize them? By making them both kayets. Okay, Kesef is kayets because every currency has a definite value. But Shova Kesef, the market fluctuates, it doesn't have the element of kayets. So how can it serve as kesef? We have to make a shuma. So according to the Lishna Basra, even if she is Somechas Das, she relies on him. Or better than that, he says Koldu, so she relies on the fact that it's worth a pruta. Nevertheless, Rav Yosef invalidates the Kedusha without shuma because it's not kesef. Good? Okay, we'll take a break here.
The fact that she was relying.
So we had a discussion about the difference between the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Basra. The Lishna Kama limits the machlokas between Rab and Rav Yosef to the issue of Smichus Das. Does she rely on him to give it a price tag, or is she suspect? Is she suspicious and thinking that maybe it's not worth that amount? The second Lishna in the Gemara introduces a whole new element. Rav Yosef's requirement of Shuma is not to placate the woman or convince her and give support to the man's claim of how much it's worth, but rather it's an absolute requirement to convert Shava Kesef into Kesef. How do we do that? Through Shuma, because Shuma effectuates Kayetz and equates Shava Kesef to Kesef. It's a formalistic rule. I mentioned before the Sefer HaMakna. The Sefer HaMakna raises the following question. What happens if a man gives a woman matbeos, meaning currency, but he gives her a whole bunch? Let's say in a bag.
So it's not clear to her how much she's
exactly.
Giving.
It's not clear to her how much she's receiving. Do we have to go through every coin in the bag and determine precisely how much it's worth?
Well, I would think you just have to find out that it's... Well, what did he say? Did he say to her, Ariat Mekadeshet Li B'Sakzu, or...
Let's say he said B'Sakzu.
And he didn't give a specific that there's...
No, I'll tell you what, the HaMakna Jeff wants
Italian,
to analyze this on the level of the Lishna Basra, who requires kayas. See,
it's coins.
Oh, 1 second. You're ahead of me. Okay, you got the punchline. But before we get to the punchline, I just want to explain to you his issue. He wants to know if we didn't add it up. Just go slow. You got the punchline, but make believe you didn't have the punchline because you're taking all the fun out of it. Okay. No, it's good. I mean, I don't know. If you were in my class and you got a grade, I'd give you an A+. But before we get to it, so what's HaMakna's issue? Let's say there's no smichus das problem. She knows that she's getting a pruta. He said kolduhu. Whatever case you want to come up with, she relies on it. But a shuma we didn't do, meaning we don't know exactly how much it's worth. So according to the Lishna Kama, we've solved all our problems. We know that she's happy about it, and she accepted it, and, you know, she's dancing in the streets with this bag. Either like you say, Jeff, the Rashba, that he besaks there, or he said to her, Bekolda, whatever case you'll work it out. Says that Makta, but what about the second Lishna Rav Yosef, who requires a specific amount? And therefore, unless there's a shuma to count it up and tell you exactly what's the market value of that which he's passing on to her, it's not valid. We don't know the value of this bag of gold coins, of this currency, of these dollars, because nobody bothered counting them up. Says the HaMakna, that's what Mickey was saying before, it's valid anyway. Why? Because since each one of those coins individually has the component, has the characteristic of Kayetz, then the formalistic requirement of Rav Yosef in the Lishna Basra is fulfilled. Again, you have another problem. Does she have Das? But I'm saying, assuming we assume Smichus Das. She was happy about it, she accepted it, you know, jack in the box, I'll take it for what it is, whatever the case is. Elamai, you can ask me, but Rav Yosef requires Kayetz. We don't know the exact value. Says the HaMakna, the din of Kayetz is in any individual chefetz that was in the bag. If each individual coin has the quality of Kayetz, then the Kedushin is valid. Interesting Kiddush, no?
But it depends. I would say Adrav, but it depends if it's the Kedushin is telling you on the sock, then she really has to know.
No, the sock is just a way of giving it over. It's
I understand.
A milk carton, you know.
I understand.
You can't give milk without a carton. You know?
She has to know, even though each one has a Shavrita, she has to know just in terms of the Das aspect.
No, so that's why I say, assuming, again, the HaMakna is making a premise. Okay. Let's grant him the premise. That in his scenario, where you didn't count up all the coins and you didn't arrive at a sum total, she has Das.
Okay.
Again, whatever way, you know, I don't want to get into that because we've discussed many variations of how we would solve the problem of Das. He wants to reduce it and isolate the problem of Kayetz in the Lishna Basra. He says that that's not a problem. You don't have to know the Sach HaKol. You don't have to calculate it, you know, add up to all the dollars and cents and say, well, it's worth 72.49 cents, you know, $70.49. As long as each one of the matbeos is a matbea, and therefore has kayetz, that's enough.
So
I want to share with you a lecha mishnah.
So we're talking circulating coinage. We're
yes.
not talking.
No.
Let's say collector's stuff.
No.
To find out that's
Lawrence, you're raising
really
a fascinating.
Right.
No, Lawrence, you're raising a fascinating sugya unto itself, and that is, what about coins that are worth the value of which has nothing to do with currency? I'll give you an example. I know a person, he's very close to me, who collects copper pennies. Why? Because he says that copper is becoming a little bit more rare. I mean, I guess it depends, you know, on the year. And it's worth a heck of a lot more than a penny. He's filling up boxes with copper pennies. I think it's a little bit more sugar.
It's because of him, it costs how much more to produce a penny than what it's worth.
There used to be a dime in America. I forgot exactly.
Canadian 1 cent pieces are mainly made out of steel these days.
Oh, so. But there's a dime that was produced in America. I'm talking probably 70 years ago, where there was an era in the Indian sheep or something. You know, there are very few around. I mean, those are worth, and silver dollars in America, I assume it's the same here in Canada, are worth way, way more than a dollar, you know. So that's a whole different thing. That's shovelkes. But if we talk about currency,
and that requires shuma.
That requires kites. That requires shuma. Now I want to share with you, and with this we'll conclude for tonight, a chiddush from the Lechem Mishnah. Unbelievable chiddush. And he's 100% right. His logic is just... Remember, we raised the machlokas, we discussed the machlokas, as to when this shuma has to take place. After all, she's got to know whether she's getting, in this case, shirayim that's worth 50. She doesn't rely on him, says Rav Yosef. So we got to make the shuma. So Rashi and Tosaf, if you recall, insisted that the shuma take place before the Maisa Kedusha, before she received the shirayim. The Rambam said no. Let's wait as long as we have to wait until the expert comes and determines its value. She's happy, it's worth exactly as he promised, a 50. Then the Kedushin is valid. The Shuma doesn't...
Is the Rambam suggesting that the valuation has to be after? Or just
no, it could be. It could be any time. It doesn't have to be before the Kedushin. Why? Because since the requirement of Shuma is a halach in das, she's allowed to have conditional das that says, you know what, we'll find out later. Right now I'm up in the air. I know that I'm not sure about it. It works like t'nai, and she'll determine later on. Says Lecha Mishnah. That makes sense only according to the Lishna Kama. According to the first Lishna, the whole issue is, does she rely on him? Does she have das or not? Let her have this, amorphic, you know, das, where she's not determined and it'll come later on. You could even do the Shuma 10 years down the line, who cares? But according to the Lishna Basra, that the halakha of Shuma is a requirement in Kayetz, in making it into Kesef, then for sure the Shuma has to come before the Maisa Kedushin. It can't come later. Why? Because it's not Kesef. If he gave her something other than Kesef, then the Maisa Kedushin is invalid. We're going to have to return, revert back, and give it again. But we can't rely on this Maisa Kedushin. If it's halach and das, we can supply the das and define it later on. Whenever the shum is done, let it be done. It may take a month, it may take a year, I don't care. But if it's halach of kayetz, because the Torah requires kesef, then he didn't give her kesef. The shuma must, by definition, take place before the Maisa Kedushin. Brilliant finish of the Lech Mishnah. I can't even begin to imagine